The New York Times will raise its daily price from $1 to $1.25 in mid-July. The home delivery rates will also go up. The company's chief executive expects the price boost will bring in between
Computers are back up and running after a major glitch delayed flights this morning for a couple of hours. The problem put all departing flights behind schedule for a while. No answer yet about what caused that problem. Senior officials with the Homeland Security Department report there have been more than 800 security breaches of their computer networks in the past 2 years. Those officials testified before Congress. The department is the main agency for fighting cyber threats. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has filed papers to drop his Republican Party affiliation. The move is fueling speculation that he may run for president in 2008, but he says he intends to be mayor for 925 more days. Illinois is moving up their presidential primaries. The governor signed a law today moving the state's primary up from March 18th to February 5th. Illinois joins as many as 25 other states planning to hold their primaries on the earlier date. In Iraq, military officials say U.S. and Iraqi troops killed 4 suspected insurgents, detained 62, and have uncovered nearly a dozen weapons caches as part of Operation Arrowhead Ripper. The offensive was launched just a couple of days ago in the Diyala province near the Iraqi border with Iran. 10,000 troops are involved in that military blitz. Militants have blown up 3 Sunni mosques south of Baghdad. No deaths were reported. The attacks were seen as revenge for yesterday's truck bombing of a Shiite mosque in Baghdad. That bombing killed 87 people. In Gaza, Israel's begun an offensive with tanks and missiles days after Hamas militants took control of the area. 4 Palestinians were killed. Israel today agreed to open its borders to sick and injured Palestinians fleeing the recent takeover of Gaza by Hamas. As many as 600 Palestinians were trapped at a border crossing without food, water, shelter, or medical care. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
If the sky is clear tonight, observers may see both the Atlantis Space Shuttle and the International Space Station seeming to chase one another through the evening sky. The two largest man-made orbiting objects are on trajectories northwest to southeast. The Space Shuttle lands at Cape Canaveral tomorrow. The European Space Agency is seeking volunteers willing to pretend they are astronauts traveling to Mars. The Chosen 6 will spend 17 months in a pseudo-spaceship, mimicking the conditions real-life astronauts would experience on a journey to the Red Planet. The head of China's regulatory agency promises to increase the safety of his country's exports. That after several products, including pet food, toothpaste, and children's toys, were recalled for being potentially toxic. For the first time in a decade, British censors have banned a video game, describing it as sadistic and brutal. Manhunt 2 is produced by U.S. company Take-Two, which also manufactures the Grand Theft Auto series. Facing antitrust complaints from Google, Microsoft has decided to make a change to its Vista operating system. It will allow competing programs to be used as Internet browsers. Light sweet crude is trading at $68.86 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. The close of Wall Street, the Dow ended down 146 points at 13,489. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, we've made it to Wednesday, haven't we? And I've got a special one lined up this evening. Not the least of which, well, we'll get to the lineup in a minute, because after all, like I said, you know it's Wednesday and you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn tootin', because brothers and sisters, put your hands upon your speakers. Feel the power emanating from your subwoofer. It's prayer meeting edition on Head On, and I'm Brother Bob. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. Come right down to the altar and engage in reason and rational thought. Dern tootin'. I got a couple of sillies. I mean, you know, this is the night we talk about religion, so just about everything is silly. Because, well, you know, it's silly. You know, believing in invisible crap. But, you know, that's what we do on Prayer Meeting Edition. By the way, any extraneous sounds you hear in the background this evening are brought to you courtesy of Little Miss Liza, who is hanging out, interning this evening in the studio with Grammy and Papa. So that's what that is. She's been getting her 2 cents worth in repeatedly today as we sat back here. Great to have the stream up and running. We had some technical difficulties earlier this afternoon that were, as the saying goes, in this business, beyond our control. It's also good to know that the vile, foul, inclement weather that passed through Tallahassee last night has gone on. And our good friend and host of Strictly Confidential, Peter Godbold, is ready to roll with Volume 2 tonight. So, you know, cross your fingers and hope for the best. Now, I said there's some silly stuff this evening, and we will get to the silly stuff because it's fun and because, you know, I save the silly garbage for Wednesdays when we talk about that kind of stuff. But I'm not going to start there. No. I'm not gonna start with the silly stuff. I'm gonna start with the deadly serious stuff. And you know, I want us to think of all the right wing Republicans. I want us to think of Tom Tancredo. I want us to think of blonde haired, pustle gutted Lou Dobbs as we contemplate this story, because, you know, a story like this just has to warm them to the cockles of their heart. Associated Press. Clutching a photo of her son, Maria Carvajal walks Tijuana's sweltering streets, searching for the mentally disabled man she says was deported more than a month ago, despite being a U.S. citizen. And he then disappeared in this chaotic border city. Ms. Carvajal has been to hospitals, she's been to shelters, she's been to jails, looking for her 29-year-old son named Pedro Guzman. He's from Lancaster, California. He is, as I said, a U.S. citizen. He was jailed for a misdemeanor trespassing violation. Jailed! For a misdemeanor trespassing violation. He is mentally disabled. He is not capable of attending to his own legal rights. That's how you wind up jailed for trespassing. His relatives have sued the Department of Homeland Security and the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. They deported him. They deported him. They deported a U.S. citizen. Jesus, can we deport Lou Dobbs? Can we deport Tom Tancredo? Can we deport the goofy freaks who think that people who scrub toilets for a living are a threat to America? Can we deport the Minutemen? The Minute Men? Now, here's the cherry on top of the poop sundae that is this story. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement confirmed Guzman had been deported and said the agency had done so correctly. Quote, ICE has no reason to believe that it improperly removed Pedro Guzman. He was a citizen of this country. But that's okay. We live in a country where my senator Jay Rockefeller can't be bothered to vote against a bill that eliminates habeas corpus for Pedro Guzman. Now, I hate snide and smarmy. ICE has no reason to believe that it improperly removed Pedro Guzman. But just downright mean-spiritedness, what you're about to hear comes from the mouth of someone who deserves to be unemployed forever after this. The U.S. consulate in Tijuana employs a woman named Lorena Blanco. Lorena Blanco needs to live in a shanty town somewhere for what she said in regard to this case. We're doing things to help that we're not obliged to do. You getting this, Agnes? We're doing things to help that we're not obliged to do. Obliged. Ms. Carvajal says she never thought she would end up having to search Tijuana's hospital and morgues for her son, but she vowed to keep on doing it because, quote, I have to. Mr. Guzman can't read. Mr. Guzman can't write. Mr. Guzman has a lot of trouble, as they say, processing information. Guzman, when he was asked about his immigration status in jail, "What you doing here, boy? What's a Mexican like you doing in Los Angeles, boy?" He told them as best he could that he was born in California to parents of Mexican extraction. Now, when you talk to Mr. Guzman, you know that you're talking to somebody with some rather profound limitations. That did not, however, stop the L.A. Sheriff's Department. Because once they had said, "What you doing here, boy?" And he gave them the best answer he knew how to give them. They then identified him, despite what he said, as a non-citizen. Then they put a form down in front of Mr. Guzman and told him to sign it. Mr. Guzman, being unable to process information, being unable to read and unable to write, as best he could, scrawled his name on the paper, which was a form consenting to voluntary removal from the United States. They then stuffed him in a vehicle, took him across the border to Tijuana, and threw him out. They turned him over to Customs and Immigration Enforcement, who did the throwing out part. The Sheriff's Department has said it followed procedures correctly. You see, we have procedures in the L.A. County Sheriff's Office that says if we have someone who is profoundly mentally disabled, the first thing we do is we get their signature on a voluntary removal form. You remember the story, what, a month ago about the guy who was being deported across the Pacific, who only stopped his own kidnapping by screaming as he was being hauled aboard a plane? You remember this man? He had been what's the official medical term? He had been chemically restrained. He had been loaded up with Haldol. Wonder how much Haldol the Department of Homeland Security pumped into Mr. Guzman. Guzman's brother Michael said last week that during a phone call to the family, the 29-year-old said he had been deported. They deported me. I don't know why. Said I was trespassing. I don't know where. But while he was on the phone, he looked at a passerby and said, "Where am I?" And the person answered, "Tijuana." Mr. Guzman, Pedro Guzman's parents were born in Mexico. They had 7 children, all of whom were born in California, which, last I checked, is still a part of the United States of America. They are what the Republican women of Alabama, in their official pronouncement of a couple of years back, would call anchor babies. Because they anchor them filthy illegal immigrants to the United States, and we can't get rid of them once they have babies here. We need to change the Constitution. I hate to tell Ms. Carvajal, her son is gone. Her son was murdered by the Department of Homeland Security as surely as if they had put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger. And yet, if you go and you look, you will find some sort of filthy editorial comment from Lou Dobbs complaining about the immigrant menace. Sounds to me like the biggest menace we have is a bunch of authoritarian freaks running around getting mentally disabled people to sign forms that they can't even understand. I hate stories like this. I'd like to get on and just tell jokes some night. And I'll do that once America is free and safe again. Once people like Pedro Guzman can know that they are safe from the depredations of the Immigration Department, once the Pedro Guzmans of this world know that they are safe from the abuses of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department and others like it all around this country. What you doing here, boy? Then we'll yuck it up and we'll have a high old time. We'll just have a darn fine time. But until then, you and me, we owe a duty to Pedro Guzman and others like him all across this country. And the duty that we owe is to try to make sure that these things don't happen to them, because someday, if we don't, they will happen to someone closer to us, someone that we love, someone that is as dear to us as Pedro Guzman is to Maria Carvajal. And I'm sure none of us want that. Except perhaps Tom Tancredo, Lou Dobbs, the Minute Men, and the rest of the bigoted, prejudiced, racist, phobic freaks who hate people for where they come from, what they do, and how much money they make, and proudly sing the national anthem at every opportunity. Oh, we're not done, not by a long shot, but we'll take a break. I welcome your thoughts. The number you know, 304-658-5453, 877-443-2366. Yes, I do welcome them. Maybe if I hear them, I won't want to scream so much. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Long distance phone calls, a voice on the line, electrical miles that soften the time. Dynamite too is hooked on the wire, and so are the rails of American flyers.
Blind boys again. Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up with John Fox at his new time, 10 a.m. Eastern.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loves me till the end.
We'll take a look at two famous recording artists that mocked the Smothers Brothers on stage after too much to drink. And you'll never guess what one of them had on his head. And it wasn't a lampshade. Tune in to Foxed Up this Friday at the new time, 10 a.m. Eastern, with John Fox at the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Moving to 10 a.m. weekdays, Monday, June 18th, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sometimes these things just sort of dovetail together. It's 26 minutes after the hour as we cruise through tonight's prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Come on down to the altar. We'll crank up the Hammond B3 here. I wish we had a Hammond B3 handy. One of these days we will. I'll sit here and do those really cool, you know, church chords and for prayer meeting. This a country that does what was done to Pedro Guzman cannot long expect to be thought of in the rest of the world as a free nation. You recognize that. I recognize that. Well, we cross the country for the next story. We go from the slums of Tijuana to Boston. And we take up the issue of Army Specialist Alex Jimenez. Alex Jimenez, who in the rhetoric of George W. Bush would be said to be fighting for America's freedom, defending democracy in the sands of Iraq, fighting the Iraqi Al-Qaeda terrorists, because if we don't defeat them there, they're going to follow us home on little inflatable rubber rafts. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Specialist Alex Jimenez is missing in Iraq. He has not been seen or heard from since his unit was attacked by insurgents on May the 12th. Many people who love Alex Jimenez dearly are praying for his safe discovery. His ID cards were found in what was billed as an Al-Qaeda safe house north of Baghdad. They also found video production equipment, the Army did, some computers and weapons. A group of Iraqis has claimed to have killed the soldiers, including Specialist Jimenez, and buried their bodies. All right. One of those who is praying and hoping against hope that the evidence about the ultimate fate of Specialist Alex Jimenez turns out not to have been as horrible as it might appear to be is his beloved spouse, his wife, Yaderlin Jimenez. The two were married in 2004. Mr. and Mrs. Jimenez looked toward a long and happy future together. Specialist Jimenez, being a member of the military, has been trained that one must do things accordingly, according to law, and that one must do things right. So he went down to the Immigration and Naturalization Service, because his wife, it turns out, had illegally entered the United States from the Dominican Republic 3 years before they were married in 2001. Specialist Jimenez applied for a green card for his beloved wife because he knew that he had to do things on the square, straight up, with integrity and with honor and with dignity, as he had been trained in the professional military of the United States of America. Now, this evening, as you and I converse, Yaderlin Jimenez is awaiting deportation. She is awaiting word as to whether or not she is a widow. And she is awaiting deportation. Because the Bush administration, Immigration and Naturalization Service, ICE, Immigration and Customs Informant, Enforcement, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, cold like ice, hard like ice, pitiless like ice, deadly like ice, has said that Yaderlin Jimenez is not entitled to a green card and she must leave. The Bush administration Immigration and Customs Enforcement Department has said that she is not eligible for any special treatment, even though her husband, her legally married husband, is fighting for our freedoms, that she is to be thrown out of the country, thrown out of your country, thrown out of my country, thrown out of our country. And I'd really, really like to know what the response would be from some of these disgusting, bigoted, racist, filthy, anti-immigration pigs like Dobbs and Tancredo and the Minute Men. Because, you see, these people are all military fetishists. Our fighting men are the finest in the world, and they wouldn't never do nothing nasty. It's just a fraternity prank when soldiers make their prisoners put some panties on their heads. It's nothing more than a fraternity. My friends, it's like a fraternity prank. And right-wing members of Congress come out and say, well, I sat down and I ate the same meal they're getting, and they're being fed well. And Alberto Gonzalez says that if it doesn't cause organ failure or death, whatever you do to them is just fine. And our troops would never deliberately commit a war crime or an atrocity or a crime against humanity. Right? 25 years old, Alex Jimenez is. Assuming he is discovered, he may come home, one hopes. And yet, when he arrives, God willing, he will find that his spouse, his wife, his soulmate, has been arrested and shipped out of this country like so much unwanted trash. And you know what? That is, I would love to have the Lou Dobbses of this country answer to that. Explain to me that that's the right and legal and just outcome, because every time you mention this issue to these freaks, they say, well, they're breaking America's law. They come here illegal-like. They can't stay. We need a big fence. Disgusting. So, if you're the praying type, pray for Alex Jimenez. If you're the praying type, pray for Yaderlin Jimenez. Pray that they may have God's mercy instead of America's justice. Let's go to the phones. Teresa joins us from Canada. Hey, Teresa, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Bob. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. These things bother me.
No, I'm glad you brought up that this topic. But the coincidence, I was reading an article today. I don't know if you'd heard about in Allentown, Pennsylvania. These same ICE agents you were talking about arrested 81 illegal immigrants at a manufacturing plant. I haven't seen it anywhere else.
No, I haven't seen this.
It's on MSNBC. But the hypocrisy is just breathtaking. According to the company, it's called Iridium Industries, that the raid is targeting just a temp industry that supplies these workers, and that the company itself has been assured by, you know, this ICE agent, Jason Rundell, that, you know, no, they're not at fault. It's a temporary agency that supplies the workers. It was as if the company doesn't have anyone on staff that's there, like, with eyes in their head that can see, like, hmm. But also this company has received government money, like low discount loans and everything, because they were supposed to set up, the company was supposed to supply 160 jobs in the area, which it hasn't, because they're just bringing in legal workers.
Oh, brother.
they're taking these 81.
What can we expect? What can we expect the rest of the world to make of us when we get caught behaving this way?
These 81 illegal immigrants, they could be like Pedro Guzman, well, maybe not like him, or but they could be people that have been here for years and years and with kids and.
Mm-hmm.
All they just say are 81 illegal immigrants. It's almost.
But you see, when
the media machines trying to numb people to the idea of it, so that they don't ask, who are these 81 people that live in America and may have lived here most, or if not all, of their lives, and we're just gonna.
Well, the right wing media does everything. We're not supposed to think of them as human beings, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to think of them as criminals, hardened criminals, out there criminally picking lettuce and out there criminally swabbing toilets and criminally washing dishes.
Well, in this story, who's the criminal here? This Iridium Industries that took, you know, taxpayer dollars and was supposed to, you know, to start up a company that was supposed to help Allentown, Pennsylvania, where it was. And then turns around and commits a crime themselves. And nothing happens to them. They arrest the 81 illegal so-called illegal immigrants. It's
right, yeah. Who's the criminal?
Astounding.
No one's. You can't get the right wing to come around to this because the very idea scares them to death, Teresa. But, you know, if we want to solve this immigration problem, it's fairly easily solved.
Mm-hmm.
It is solved with a minimum wage that is actually enforced.
Yeah.
And with easy access to organized labor.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you do that, then these sleazy rats, these fly-by-night contractors and so forth, it'll be a little less easy for them to hire somebody out of the Home Depot parking lot for $3 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Or $5 an hour.
Yep.
And if you catch them doing it, you put some teeth behind the law and you say, you know, we catch you doing it, you're going to get 20 years hard time.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's not like they just went after the contractors and temp agency, they called it, but why not the company? I mean, they had to have known. Like,
well, of course.
They know how many employees they have. And
they've got managers inside the company. Yeah.
Like, I think they might have auditors and that to work there to figure that out.
Well, they've got managers on the floor of the company walking around. They know that they know when they're not hearing English spoken.
No.
Yeah.
But so all those people, I'm sure there's plenty of children, but like 81 illegal workers or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure, many of them have kids and have been here for years. So what happens to them? But apparently, they said this ICE, whatever. You were talking about them earlier. Just took them right into custody, and they're just being processed for deportation right away.
And see, the one thing that bears to be recalled is that in this god-awful habeas corpus repeal that was passed a few months ago, there is a clause that says, and I hang on to it, and I haven't heard anybody mention it except me, and I guess maybe I'm the only one who read the fine print, I don't know. But it says, until such time as your legal citizen status can be determined, you can be held without habeas corpus. So that means anybody that gets rounded up by ICE, ICE has no duty whatsoever to afford them any sort of recourse to counsel.
That's ridiculous. Well, the case you were talking about when you, the Guzman case, so they haven't found him yet?
No.
They don't know where he is?
They think he's in Tijuana because that's all he was able to say when he called in the one time.
But you said there's some woman at the embassy or whatever?
The American
we're
consulate.
We're not doing anything that we're just doing this as a favor. I thought that was.
Yeah, she said that we've done things we're not even obliged to do.
But they are. Aren't embassies in other countries there to help American citizens?
You would think, but you know, again, we live in Bush America, and so you know, the federal government is only obliged to help the people who have enough money to pay for the help. Through, you know, political crony donations, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so sad.
It's disgusting. I mean, when you think for a moment, the man was obviously impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he couldn't communicate well. He couldn't write. He couldn't read. And they thrust a paper in front of him and say, "Sign it, boy."
But they had to have known he spoke English too, though. So they. To figure he, you know what I mean? They couldn't have been
right. He was judged based
from America.
He was judged based upon his appearance. After all, at another one of these ICE raids at a meat processing plant in Utah, people were lined up according to how dark skinned they were.
Hmm.
One of the dark skinned women was hauled away for deportation, who was a member of a union and an American born citizen.
My God.
You know, I wish, how much do your fellow Canadians know about how thoroughly we're going to hell down here, Teresa?
Well, they do a lot, I guess. Like, sometimes we get more in the news up here. I mean, the immigration thing, I guess it's hard for us to understand because we don't have, well, not yet anyway, we don't have Americans flooding over the border into Canada. But,
No, we just sit here hypnotized in front of our television sets. Thinking everything's okay as long as the Super Bowl goes off, or as long as we get to watch the running of the Daytona 500, or, you pick the opiate.
Most people are just stunned that the impeachment hasn't happened yet.
But, I mean, up there, do folks look sort of askance at people who are dark-skinned? I mean, I'm sure you've got your fair share of doing immigrant labor jobs.
Yeah, I mean, there's people. I mean, there's racism everywhere. But we just, I don't know, like the city I live in is, you know, has a high ratio of, you know, immigrants in the city, but. You know, you don't notice that. Like, when they come here, they're going for citizenship, so they're getting paid the same wages and that. And I know we have seasonal workers from Mexico come up, but they earn what our minimum wage is up here, which was, I don't know, probably $10 an hour or something like that. But you know, no, it does. No one's bothered by it or anything. I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to do it, but
right.
I don't know. It's like it's not like they're doing it for less, and that's why the Bay Area I live in, they have a lot of like fruit trees and that, and it's just because they need the workers and they can't get enough people from around here. But they still get paid minimum wage. So I guess in that specific case, it is more. No one else wants to do it.
Well, I opened my email this morning, Teresa, to see where the right-wingers are flipping out. They're convinced that there is a great conspiracy afoot to join Canada, Mexico, and the United States together into one big North American country.
That hurts me when I hear that.
I mean, are you guys up there plotting to give up your own sovereignty?
No, God. I'm sure Mexico wants to be its own country, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mexico doesn't want to become a part of Los Estados Unidos.
It's when you hear some of the right-wingers say it, like, in such a blasé way, as if, like, just assuming that, oh, Canada and Mexico won't mind. Yes, we would.
You know, I can't imagine y'all giving up hockey night in Canada.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Yeah, see,
unless, of course, we could bring our form of government to your country. Then
I'm beginning to wonder if it might not be a nice idea. I mean, y'all actually get some governing done once in a while, right?
Yeah, because, well, also, I don't know if you've probably watched it on BBC when where they have their question period where everyone's like just shouting and everything at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Bush never has to do that. Like, he's never had to. Can you imagine Bush standing in front of...
Oh, George hasn't been shouted at since the last time he came in drunk to the compound in Kenny Bunkport for dinner 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was when he threatened to beat up his daddy. He doesn't do shouting very well.
Yeah, but here we get to see it. It's well, every day on TV when they're in session, you get to see it and everything, and yeah, it's funny too. Like all the creative ways they find to give each other the finger without actually looking like they are, like adjusting the glasses and stuff.
Yeah, holding up all four. Read between the lines, buddy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, they tear Bush. Well, when Bush came up here, he wouldn't go and they didn't have him go and do a speech or do a thing at our parliament because no one would promise not to ask him scary questions or whatever.
Oh, gracious sakes. Well, Teresa, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, thanks for taking my call.
You have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see who's ringing in here. Yes, Agnes. When Agnes says wait, I wait. Why am I waiting, Agnes?
5453, yes, it is. It's the Hit On Radio Network.
Okay, she's answering the phone, and I'm having to wait. I feel like we need to be whispering like I'm back behind a hedge. All right. Oh, isn't she lovely? She's answering the phone. Well, there's another one of those creative ways of giving you the finger that Teresa was just talking about.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Merciful sakes. Yes, dear.
Evidently, someone has a cousin named Hester Prynne. I'm just going to put my A on and have a good night.
Well, you know, what are you? The
Scarlet Letter.
No. You're an abomination or something, aren't you? Because
yeah.
Last I checked, I think what was it? I got called a prostate. God. Yeah, it kind of messes with the flow of things, but you know what? Whatever.
I was going to put them on.
What kind of a remedy is there for the things that are being done in this country to the likes of Pedro Guzman and Mrs. Jimenez? As a member of the U.S. military, and I fear, frankly, that he is not with us any longer, but assuming that Mr. Jimenez comes home, what does he think of the country that he thinks he's fighting to defend that attacks his wife when he's not there to defend her? This is one of those moments that I would just give anything for a Bush-voting conservative to explain this all to me, because my brain is apparently just too daggum small to comprehend how you and I, we the people, through our elected representatives, and which turn out not to be ours and not to be elected and not to be representative, turn around and act like a gang of jackbooted stormtrooper thugs. I mean, I'm a southerner. I've got a little bit of redneck in me. Got a lot of redneck in me. Who am I kidding? And the idea of attacking a wife according to the code of honor and conduct that kind of comes with that geographical part of the United States. Well, that's a killing offense. I mean, you know, really, like, you know, he was looking cross-eyed at my old lady, so I shot him. I mean, that's been said in trial after trial after trial after trial all over the redneck South. If you read the classic To Kill a Mockingbird, early on, the narrator, Scout, explains away her father's distaste for practicing criminal law because the last case he had worked out a nice plea deal for the defendants, but they insisted on going to trial and putting forward the bastard had it coming to him defense. I don't make this stuff up. And I say Southern because that's my point of reference. But I have a sneaking suspicion that the point is just as well taken in other parts of this country. In the up from your own bootstraps, hard scrabble, make your own way in this world, the corners of Arizona, New Mexico, in California, in the great Northwest, in the frozen north of Wisconsin and Minnesota, where do it yourself isn't a way of life so much as it is a religion. That when in the absence of a husband you do immoral, unspeakable things to a wife, you earn what's coming to you. What's coming to the immigration thugs and the L.A. County Sheriff's deputies who took advantage of an illiterate, mentally disabled man just because every time they can get one out of the country, it's better for their numbers and maybe they'll get a raise? What's coming to them? What are they earning? Because, see, you and me, we're paying them to do that. I'm sure there are federal grants that flow into the L.A. County Sheriff's Office for just such purposes as these. Don't you suppose? You and me, we paid to have that done to Pedro Guzman. You and me, we paid to have that done to Mrs. Jimenez. And, you know, I don't know, maybe is this the point where we talk about the disparate treatment of Cubans versus Dominican Republicans? She struggled, Mrs. Jimenez did, as hard as any Cuban to get to the Americans, the Americas, to get to the United States, to get to the sanctuary of American democracy. And yet we have a policy in this country that says if a Cuban gets a dry foot on American soil, they get to stay. Not so for a Dominican. No, no. No, no. We'll hunt them down, and even if their husband is a missing soldier in Iraq, we will do everything in our power to make their lives hell. If Mrs. Jimenez has to leave the United States, she will have to wait, by law, 10 years before she can reapply for entry, and then she will be refused again. Her lawyer, Matthew Culkin, said, and I quote, "I can't imagine a bigger injustice than that, to be deporting someone's wife who is fighting and possibly dying for our country." I can, Mr. Culkin. I can imagine it because I don't have to imagine it. I know it's happening. If it happens once, it happens a dozen, 100 times all across this country. Injustice? No. It's not an injustice, Mr. Culkin. It is a crime. It is a crime born of racism. It is a crime born of prejudice. It is a crime born of bigotry and fear and every other base, filthy emotion that inhabits the human psyche and that has infected this country since that jug-eared, bug-eyed little lout, that dry drunk, stole the White House in December 2000. Since he took the oath of office that should have been taken by the man who rightfully won the contest in January 2001. That is the America that we have had foisted upon us. Those are the consequences of the actions of a gang of judicial thugs who sit in a stone building in Washington and call themselves supreme. And the biggest part of my scorn is reserved for Sandra Day O'Connor, who knew better and still sided with her politics and not her conscience. Her politics and not her good judgment. Her politics and not her legal training. Her politics and not her scholarship. Her politics and not her humanity when she joined Rehnquist and Thomas and Scalia and Kennedy to make the five-person majority in Bush v. Gore that handed the presidency to a man who was less capable of taking the reins of government than any other human being who has ever been near to having it in the history of this once great nation. And so it goes. And the ripples of a stone thrown into the middle of a pond reach further and further and further away from the center and wash over people like Yatterlin Jimenez and people like Pedro Guzman, who never even saw it coming and wanted only to be left alone to pursue the American dream as best they could, even given the limitations that they had. Peaches are running, oranges are piled, they're crayoso done. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is the only place, one of the only places, that has the nerve and the guts to talk about this hard stuff. You can be part of it. Wade back again. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My father's own father, he waded that river. He took all the money he made in his life. My brothers and sisters come working. Truck till they took them and died. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios mis amigos, Jesus y Marie. You won't have a name when you ride. Some of us ain't wanted. I work contracts out.
Search. The president, however, issued an executive order to promote research into cells that, like stem cells, have potential for battling disease. Democrats quickly denounced the president's veto, but they likely do not have enough votes to override it. United Airlines says its computers are back up and running after a major glitch delayed flights this morning for a couple of hours. Takeoffs all over the world were brought to a halt, putting other flights behind schedule. United is investigating why a backup system didn't kick in. Senior officials with the Homeland Security Department have testified to Congress that there have been more than 800 security breaches of their computer networks in the past 2 years. The department is the main agency for fighting cyber threats. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg filed papers to drop his Republican Party affiliation. The move is fueling speculation that he may run for president in 2008, but he says he intends to be mayor for 925 more days. Illinois is moving up their presidential primaries, joining 25 other states that have done the same. The new primary date is February 5th. In Iraq, military officials say U.S. and Iraqi troops killed 4 suspected insurgents, detained 62, and have uncovered nearly a dozen weapons caches as part of Operation Arrowhead Ripper. The offensive was launched just a couple of days ago near the Iraqi border with Iran. 10,000 troops are involved in the military blitz. At the Pentagon, Army officials are deciding whether to extend soldiers' tours in Iraq in order to maintain required troop strength. Also under consideration, more use of Army reservists and Navy and Air Force personnel. Many countries, including Israel, are showing support for ousted leader Mahmoud Abbas and his Fatah government. From outside Gaza, Israel fired missiles and has sent in tanks. 4 Palestinians died in the attacks. At the same time, Israel today agreed to open its borders to sick and injured Palestinians fleeing the recent takeover of Gaza by Hamas. As many as 600 of them were trapped at a border crossing without food, water, shelter, or medical care. Former President Jimmy Carter today criticized the U.S. for their Palestinian policy. Carter said Hamas has won a fair and democratic mandate and should have been recognized. This is QNN.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
The European Space Agency is looking for volunteers willing to pretend they're astronauts traveling to Mars. The Chosen Six will spend 17 months in a pseudo-spaceship, mimicking the conditions real-life astronauts would experience on a journey to the Red Planet. And if the sky is clear tonight, observers may see both the Atlantis Space Shuttle and the International Space Station seeming to chase one another across the evening sky. The two largest man-made orbiting objects are on trajectories northwest to southeast. The Space Shuttle lands at Cape Canaveral tomorrow. And for the first time in a decade, British censors have banned a video game, describing it as sadistic and brutal. Manhunt 2 is produced by U.S. company Take-Two, which also manufactures the Grand Theft Auto series. Facing antitrust complaints from Google, Microsoft has decided to make a change to its Vista operating system so that competing programs can be used as internet browsers. The National Commission on Teaching and America's Future reports every year 500,000 teachers in the U.S. leave the profession. Light sweet crude is trading at $68.74 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow ended down 146 points at 13,489. The Nasdaq was down 27, the S&P down 21. And there's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Five minutes past. I suppose we will move on from that story. I don't know how the heck we will, but we will. Those stories. There a thousand times a day I just ask myself, and I'm sure you do as well, how people sleep who do these things to other human beings. I mean, we see the impact of this immoral occupation in the mounting exponential rise in cases of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, in our troops coming home. We know what it does to them. But closer to home, that L.A. County Sheriff's deputy. Sign this, boy. What is it? Something you need to sign? The dirt bucket ice stormtrooper who wants to send an American soldier missing in action, who wants to send his wife away from everything that means anything to her. How do those SOBs sleep at night? What do you have to do to your own brain to be able to participate in a scam like that? In evil like that? I don't know about you, I sleep pretty good. I imagine you do too, because you're actively engaged in not being evil. But what happens, you know, maybe it's a psychology moment. What happens in a monster's brain? Because you know what? Somebody who does that kind of thing is a monster.
Oh, I don't think that's fair, Bob. They're trying to feed their families, too.
Well, see, that's when you verge over into what Hannah Arendt referred to as the banality of evil. You don't have to have a big black cape and walk around twirling your mustache and going, "Whoa!" to be evil. You can be as evil as the day is long, and all in the world you do is get up and go to work every day. And you hug your kids when you get home, and I guess you just compartmentalize your world, don't you? Don't you? Don't they? Is it? I don't know of any other way to get through it. Do you? Because if you subject it to any kind of scrutiny, especially these people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, you can't compartmentalize it. Or maybe you just call yourself that and you do as you're told. Or maybe you wander into a confessional and say, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, make it all better. And you finger some beads and eat a cookie and go away feeling like it's all okay. And the next day you get up and you go do it again. Amen. Yeah? Yeah. Let's go to the phones. David joins us from Maine. Hey, David, thanks for calling.
Good evening, Bob.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm disturbed.
Getting through it, I guess.
Yeah, pulling through.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about something about what lies beneath. This was found on dig.com. They pulled it up, and it's an interview with Ron Sapinski. I don't know if you've seen this. The Public Information Department of the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank, and it's an eye-opener, and I'd like to read it to the public.
Okay.
Mr. Sapinski, does my country own the Federal Reserve System? We are an agency of the government. That's not my question. Is it owned by my country? It is an agency of the government created by Congress. Is the Federal Reserve a corporation? Yes. Does my government own any of the stocks in the Federal Reserve? No. It is owned by the member banks. Are the member banks private corporations? Yes. Are Federal Reserve notes backed by anything? Yes, by the assets of the Federal Reserve, but primarily by the powers of Congress to lay tax on the people. Did you say by the power to collect taxes is what backs Federal Reserve notes? Yes. What are the total assets of the Federal Reserve? The San Francisco Bank has $36 billion in assets. What are these assets composed of? Gold, the Federal Reserve Bank itself, and government securities. what value does the Federal Reserve Bank carry gold per ounce on their books? I don't have that information, but the San Francisco Bank has $1.6 billion in gold. Are you saying the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco has $1.6 billion in gold, the bank itself, and the balance of the assets of government securities? Yes. Where does the Federal Reserve get Federal Reserve notes from? They are authorized by the Treasury. How much does the Federal Reserve pay for a $10 Federal Reserve note? 50 to 70 cents? How much do they pay for a $100 Federal Reserve note? The same 50 to 70 cents? To pay only 50 cents for $100 is a tremendous gain, isn't it? Yes. According to the U.S. Treasury, the Federal Reserve pays $20.60 per 1,000 denomination, or a little over 2 cents for a
okay. $100. Time out, dude.
Yeah.
Let's do a little background here.
Yeah.
This is some sort of sworn testimony?
This is a call that was put up on the net. Now you can take it for what it's worth. And there's a footnote at the end of it. I don't know. There's a little bit more left to it.
Okay, go ahead.
For a $1,000 denomination, or a little over 2 cents for a $100 bill, is that correct? That is probably close. Doesn't the Federal Reserve use the Federal Reserve notes that cost about 2 cents each to purchase U.S. bonds from the government? Yes, but there is more to it than that. Basically, that is what happens? Yes, basically you are correct. How many Federal Reserve notes are in circulation? 263 billion, and we can only account for a small percentage. Where do they go? People's mattress, buried in their backyards, and illegal drug money? Since the debt is payable in Federal Reserve notes, how can the $4 trillion national debt be paid off with the total Federal Reserve notes in circulation? I don't know. If the federal government would collect every Federal Reserve note in circulation, would it be mathematically possible to pay the $4 trillion national dollar debt? No. Am I correct when I say $1 deposited in the member bank, $8 can be lent out through fractional reserve policy? About $7. Correct me if I'm wrong, but $7 of additional Federal Reserve notes were never put in circulation, but for lack of better words, were created out of thin air in the form of credits, and the 2 cents per denomination were not paid to either. In other words, the Federal Reserve notes were not physically printed, but in reality were created by a journal entry and lent at interest. Is that correct? Yes. Is that the reason there are only 263 billion Federal Reserve notes in circulation? That is part of the reason. Am I mistaking that when the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913, it transferred the power to coin and issue our nation's money and to regulate the value thereof from Congress to a private corporation? And my country now borrows what should be our own money from the Federal Reserve plus interest? Is that correct? And the debt can never be paid off under the current money system of our country? Basically, yes. I smell a rat, do you? I'm sorry, I can't answer that. I work here. Has the Federal Reserve ever been independently audited? We are audited. Why is there a current House Resolution 1486 calling for a complete audit of the Federal Reserve by the GAO? And why is the Federal Reserve resisting? I don't know. Does the Federal Reserve regulate the value of Federal Reserve notes and interest rates? Yes. Explain how the Federal Reserve system can be constitutional if only the Congress of the U.S., which compromises of the Senate and House of Representatives, has the power to coin and issue our money supply and regulate the value thereof. Nowhere in the Constitution does it give Congress the power or authority to transfer any powers granted under the Constitution to a private corporation. Or does it? I am not an expert on constitutional law. I can refer you to our legal department. I can tell you I have read the Constitution. It does not provide that any power granted can be transferred to a private corporation. Doesn't it specifically state all other powers not granted are reserved to the state and to the citizens? Does that mean to a private corporation? I don't think so, but we were created by Congress. Would you agree it is our country and it should be our money as provided by our Constitution? I understand what you are saying. Why should we borrow our money from a private consortium of bankers? Isn't this why we had a revolution, created a separate sovereign nation, and a Bill of Rights? Declined to answer. Has the Federal Reserve ever been declared constitutional by the Supreme Court? I believe there have been court cases on the matter. Have there been Supreme Court cases? I think so, but I'm not sure. Didn't the Supreme Court declare unanimously in A.L. Schechter, Poultry Corporation versus U.S. and Carter versus Carter Coal Corporation, the corporative state arrangement and unconstitutional delegation of legislative power? This is legislative delegation in its most obnoxious form, for it is not even delegation to an official or an official body, but presumptively disinterested, but to private persons, Carter versus Carter Cole. I don't know. I can refer you to our legal department. Isn't the current money system a house of cards that must fall because the debt can mathematically never be paid off? It appears that way. I can tell you've been looking in this matter and are very knowledgeable. However, we do have a solution. This is good, Bob. What is the solution? The debit card? Do you mean under the EFT? Isn't that very frightening when one considers the capabilities of computers? It would provide the government and all its agencies, including the Federal Reserve, such information as you went to the gas station at 2:30 and bought $10 of unleaded gas, $1.41 per gallon, and then you went to the grocery store at 2:58 and bought bread, lunch, meat, and milk for $12.32, and then went to the drugstore at 3:30 and bought cold medicine for $5.62. In other words, they would know where we go, when we went, how much we paid, how much the merchant paid, and how much profit he made. Under the EFT, they will literally know everything about us. Isn't that kind of scary? Yes, it makes you wonder. I smell a giant rat that has overthrown my Constitution. Aren't we paying tribute in the form of income taxes to a consortium of private bankers? I can't call it tribute. It is interest. Haven't all elected officials taken an oath in office to preserve and defend the Constitution from enemies, both foreign and domestic? Isn't the Federal Reserve a domestic enemy? I can't say that. Our elected officials and members of the Federal Reserve are guilty of aiding and abetting the overthrowing of my Constitution, and that is treason. Isn't the punishment of treason death? I believe so. Thank you for your time and information, and if I may say so, I think you should take the necessary steps to protect you and your family and withdraw your money from the banks before the collapse. I am. Doesn't look good. Thanks for calling. That right there was a phone call transcript by Daniel Benham. You can get it on the APFN.org. Take it for what it's worth. I'm going to take it for what it's worth. I hope it's accurate. If it's not, the guy's a liar. What can I say? But if that is accurate, that was from close to 20 years ago. Now, Bob, imagine the state where we are now.
Yeah, close to 20 years ago, what, 80, what?
88.
88, yeah. Just toward the end of the second Reagan regime.
And you notice, Bob, we never really do have a discussion of this in the national media. Nobody ever talks about
it. Nobody can have a discussion of this, David.
I know, except here.
And it's difficult here because, frankly, you verge into territories that are specifically designed to be cognizable and comprehensible only by people who understand the most bizarre principles of accounting. There is a brilliant book out there by William Grider called Secrets of the Temple, I believe, that lays out a lot of this in very rational, fairly comprehensible fashion. And it'll scare the bejesus out of you.
There's also, for people who can't get the book right now or don't have the money or it's not in your library or whatever, you can go to Video Google and watch Money Masters.
Okay.
And I saw a little bit of it. I plan on seeing all of it. It's 3 hours, people. So sit down and get some popcorn.
Well, get your popcorn, sharpen up a couple of number two pencils, get a legal pad out.
Yeah, and prepare to bang your head against the wall.
Yeah, because, you see, a lot of this has to do... When was the Fed formed?
I think it was, what did they say, 1904, 1903, something like that?
And you've got... It's a weird amalgam between public and private, because obviously the president appoints the chairman of the Fed, who serves for a period of time that is deliberately designed to fall in between presidencies so that it can't be turned into a political football. Hence, we had eons of Alan Greenspan, you know, former Cabana boy to Ayn Rand. I'm not kidding, really.
Right.
In many ways, crazier than a runover dog. But, you know, because it is a house of cards. Okay, anytime you're dealing with fiat money, it's got to be a house of cards because it's only got value because we say it has value. But we are by no means alone in using that system. Ancient Native Americans traded in shells. They traded in cacao beans. occasionally gold dust. Gold itself only has value because we say it has value.
Right.
There's only one thing that has intrinsic value on this planet, and that is life.
Yeah, I would agree with you to that extent, yeah.
So any monetary system at some level is going to be a fiat system. Now the fact that it looks like we've got a bunch of paper money that is only good because the government says it's good and is only good because the full faith and credit, and that phrase does exist in the Constitution, says it's good. Well, there are many out there who believe that that's the most stable way to go, because governments have risen and fallen and been destroyed by something as simple as a fluctuation in the overall market price of precious metals. Or, you know, you can look at and there's a great description of the history of it, David. You can look at the tulip bubble in Holland. Michael Pollan in The Botany of Desire describes it quite well. You literally had the entire economic structure of a great empire type nation hanging on flower bulbs. I watched it. You know, we went over that list of the 100 richest men in America or whatever the other night, and lo and behold, the manufacturer of Thai beanie babies is—he's in the ghetto of the filthy rich, down at only a few billion. Do you? I don't know. Are you old enough to remember the beanie baby craze?
Oh, I remember the beanie baby craze.
I mean, there were perfectly rational, full-grown women and men out there who were paying insane, like $5,000-$10,000 for a stupid little stuffed doll. People will attach value to the most bizarre things, and I'm not particularly surprised that we attach value to Monopoly money.
I think it's avoiding, you know, I think it all goes back to it's avoiding the work in the field. Someone didn't want to work with the horse and the plow. They said, hey, maybe we can create this system where a lot of us don't have to be in the field.
Significant truth in that, David, because Dr. Bill will tell you, if you ever call and ask, that the vast majority of students he sees coming through his institution of higher learning don't want to be a chemist. They don't want to be a biologist.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be somebody who makes something. They all want to be accountants or financial planners or money managers or some. They want to do a service instead of a good. And that, of course, is the one thing, more than anything else, that is likely to make this system collapse. The fact that the full faith and credit of the United States is no longer going to be based on our ability to make stuff, but only to do stuff. And when you've got an entire service culture and an entire service economy, guess what you've become?
A slave.
You've become a servant.
Do you think there's any hope for the value of labor increasing?
Yeah, I do. I think that comes through the people who are in that service culture, who insist on better wages. We saw it happen in the last year among the janitorial staff workers who organized and got their wages almost doubled. Although, you know, it's still not that much money, but they got wages doubled. They got pension. They got benefits. You know, in a cesspool like Houston.
Did you happen to see Bill Moyer's journal where Andy Stern was on?
Yeah, I did. I watched that.
And what did you think of his plan? Did it make sense to you?
Some of it does. And some of his concerns over private equity are also very disturbing. I mean the plans aren't, but private equity is. That's going to be a phrase that you hear more and more and more as companies get pulled out of the stock market.
I think another thing is that a lot of people are out of the orbit is when they were like, relax, we can handle it with the corporations. They're not going to screw us over on this one. We're a union.
Yeah, they will. But, you know, Stern was also a little bit disturbing when he talked about auto worker jobs. He said, let's face it, you didn't have those good wages and benefits and pension because it was skilled labor. Assembly line work is unskilled labor. You got it because it was a union job. Well, there's a little bit of snobbery built into that, isn't there?
I think when you say unskilled in anything where you have a trade or a practice, I think it's a little bit of insulting, and I also think it's a little bit of ignorance coming through.
Yeah, and elitism.
And elitist, too, because every job is, to me, every job is a learned trade. I don't care how minimal or basic it is.
You have to learn to do every job you set out to do, whether you're clerking at the local Ripping Mart or picking lettuce or pushing a broom or putting door handles on Fords. You have to learn to do that job, and that takes skill to do it well. And it takes tremendous will in the former days of the assembly line when you had to stand there for 8, 10, 12 hours a day and do the same repetitive act over and over and over like a machine yourself. That is a sublime act of human endurance and will. And we say, well, it's unskilled labor. You know, let's take I got an idea. Let's take a Rockefeller.
Right.
And put him on a 12-hour shift at Starbucks and see how unskilled it is.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
You know, they won't let you actually serve a cone at a Dairy Queen until you can make that stupid little floopty curl at the top of the cone.
I can just imagine if we somehow let all the poor people and all the middle class people just teleport out of here just for like a month. Can you imagine what would happen to this country?
Yeah, it falls apart.
People would be going gaga crazy like Howard Hughes. Come in with the milk.
Yeah. Yeah, the moneyed class, the hoity-toity, well-to-do, silk stocking crowd cannot live on its own. They're like hothouse flowers.
I was watching, On the Lot Act. I was just flipping around the channels before I was watching Frontline, which I thought was pretty good, by the way. But they had On the Lot, and that was about film directors. And they were talking about the value of films and the hottest property, and I couldn't help but thinking, my God, now they've turned directors into prostitutes on national TV.
Yeah.
I guess I'll leave it on that one, Bob.
Okay, David, thanks so much. Thanks for taking this in that direction. I appreciate it.
No problem, Bob. You have a good night.
You too.
Later.
Do you doubt the truth of that? What happened? What would happen if every single person who actually does something in this country, this company, this is one big company now, you realize that? If every single person who does something for a living stopped doing it for a month, all together, all at once, what would happen to Mr. and Mrs. Hilton? What would happen to the Rockefellers? Now, by who does something for a living, I mean bank tellers, too. I mean the people who make the electronic funds transfers go through. Those people. What if you made it absolutely impossible for the richest 0.1% of this country to live? I don't mean killing anybody. No. I mean just quit being their slaves. Because we are talking about slavery. Here's one of those geeky Latin moments that I'm so fond of. The word service, serving, servant, it all comes from the neuter Latin noun servum, S-E-R-V-U-M. Notice, neuter, not masculine, not feminine, neuter noun servum, and that means, baby, slave. Oh, we're in the service economy. That means we're in the slave economy. How many of us were paying attention when George Bush went after Social Security by saying, I want to create a new ownership society? Oh, my God, he was telling the truth. How many of us noticed? Slavery. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Ha! No, actually, the government that was born out of the Civil War took us closer to us all being slaves. But we don't really pay attention to that, do we? The Andy Stern interview with Bill Moyers that David referenced, I did watch the other day. Our good friend Cindy, I think, sent me the link. And I couldn't help notice his rather dire warnings about where we are going with private equity firms. You might recognize that phrase from the Chrysler sale when the albatross around Daimler-Benz, that was the Chrysler Motors Corporation, was sold to a private equity firm. That means they're not in the market. That means just the people on the inside, not stockholders, not traded daily on NASDAQ or Dow, the Wall Street, any of the, none of that. It's just private people making private money. Okay, and I have no, now please, I have no love for Wall Street. But Andy Stern is correct when he points to the frequency with which private equity is becoming the de rigueur way to do business in this country. And I think it would do us well to understand why. And the short answer on why is this. Way back when pensions became unfashionable and everybody got what was a pension turned into a 401k in the stock market, because the Republicans had to reward their avaricious pals and had to pay them off, and that was how they did it. They took pension plans that were rock solid and turned them into chips next to the roulette wheel in the stock market. Once that happened, well, that money was slowly filtered into the hands of the ownership society. Now, a couple of years ago, we stopped George Bush from giving Social Security away to his equity buddies. What do you see now? You see companies going private. They couldn't get our money. They couldn't get our Social Security system. So now they're going to pull their money and they're going to go private. And the people who work for these firms, you know, the Chrysler workers have some hope that they'll still get to make cars. But it's anybody's guess as to how the private equity firm Cerberus, named after the nine-headed dog at the gates of hell, it's anybody's guess how the Chrysler workers will be treated. Because they are now private servants. Private servants. Field hands. We fought a war in which 5% of this population died to end that kind of thing. And here we are with a Republican government at the helm. And we're headed for it as fast as we can run back to the plantation. Black, white, red, yellow. Some of us, you know, those Republican voters who are middle class and lower class, I voted for George Bush because he loves Jesus, are begging to have the manacles put around our legs. Some of us are going to scream a little bit while they hammer him on. Count me among the screamers. You're welcome to jump into the conversation. In fact, I urge you to. This is actually kind of important stuff, isn't it? Will you go quietly towards your slavery? Or is that just going to become America's dirty little secret? Chime right in, 304-658-5453, 877-443-2366. Where are you? Stand or fall? This is America's Liberal Voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Coming Tuesday, June 26th, the Head On Radio Network will go dark. I believe this is the right thing to do, and the Horn feels very strongly that an attack on one segment of Internet radio constitutes an attack on all Internet radio. On the day of the stand-down, Head On will keep the chat room open, so pop in to show your support. Try to imagine conversation radio without music. I know I can't.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. China's Olympic spotlight is threatening to burn out under building pressure concerning rampant slavery and child labor violations. Jesse Russell reports.
China had been hoping to use the opportunity as host of the 2008 Olympic Games as a chance to show the world a modern country thriving in the new world economy. However, recent discoveries of forced labor camps in Shaanxi and Henan province have tainted the coming celebrations and distracted from the positive Olympic news reports coming out of Beijing. A report from the Chinese media says that more than 570 workers, including farmers and children as young as 8, have been rescued from working in brick kilns and iron and coal mines. They worked more than 14 hours per day, received little to no pay, and were beat if they tried to escape. Reports Tuesday morning also suggested that some young girls were forced into prostitution at the camps. 168 arrests have been reported so far, and while many local officials are now touting themselves as liberators, the Chinese media isn't biting. They are accusing officials of turning a blind eye to human slavery for possibly more than a decade. Chinese media, such as the Guangzhou Daily, suggested the trade could not have lasted so long without local government complicity.
The United Food and Commercial Workers Union says its membership in California could begin voting as soon as Sunday on whether to authorize a strike against two Southern California grocery chains. A strike has already been authorized, if needed, at a third chain. Very little progress has been made in contract talks. Roughly 65,000 UFCW workers are employed at Ralph's, Vons, and Albertsons in Southern California. How to utilize a jointly held union company health care fund to cover increasing health care costs and wages for new hires are among the unresolved issues. A lockout and strike that lasted 141 days happened 3.5 years ago when negotiations broke down. Unions, pension funds, and large corporations are uniting to urge corporate America to end quarterly earnings guidance. The coalition includes the Business Roundtable, representing 160 major U.S. CEOs, and the AFL-CIO. The goal is to increase pressure on companies to start looking at long-term objectives and not be so focused on the short term. The United Steelworkers and Titan Tire are jointly filing a trade case against China, alleging that China is subsidizing and dumping off-the-road tires into the U.S. market. USW President Leo Girard says China should have to pay duties to offset this unfair competition in the tire market for construction and agricultural vehicles. Girard says China's predatory trade policies are undermining the U.S. tire manufacturing industry. The USW represents workers at Titan's tire plants in Illinois, Ohio, Iowa, Kansas, and New York. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org. Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News.
Our thanks go out to our good friend Billy Shears for cutting the ad regarding the Radio Day of Silence coming up on June the 26th. And, of course, that's the featured item on this week's Thursday night's special over at BillyShearsMusic.com. Go on by. Have a read. You'll be glad you did. There's some great stuff happening there. As you know, we are going to go dark on June the 26th in solidarity with other internet radio broadcasters. The list is growing. Some of the folks that you may be familiar with or not, Live365.com will go down. AccuRadio.com will go down. KCRW.com will go down. Radio Paradise will go down. Radio I.O. will go down. So, you know, this is this has a Born Again Radio is going to go down. This has potential to make a difference. Of course, it doesn't really matter if we use that, unless we use that downtime to make a difference with our elected representatives. Now, I know after all the grim stuff that I started this program with, it's hard to look up and go, oh, okay, yay, Bob, I'll write my congressman. But it's the only hope we've got. It is literally all there is standing between the destruction of the single most important change in media in the last 50 years. It's all there is. We can save it or not. If we try, we may not save it. If we do not try, it is guaranteed that we won't save it. And frankly, I'm enough of a free speech fanatic that I'm glad that Born Again Radio is going dark. I'll stand with those people shoulder to shoulder on this issue. I don't care what they believe or what they don't believe. I'll stand with them. Because it appears they understand how important this is to the American dialogue, the American debate, and the American experience. You may wind up writing letters to people who are certifiably insane, such as our good friend Chino Deb in the chat room, going to write John McCain. You may live in Alabama and wind up writing letters to people like Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions the Third. You know, the guy who once said, you know, I thought the Klan was pretty cool till I realized they smoked dope. You may have to write letters to freaks. You might have to write a letter to Senator Sam Brokeback or Brownback. You live in Colorado, you might have to write a letter to Representative Tom Tancredo. I don't know, maybe you tell Tancredo that the brown people will take over internet radio if we don't get this bill passed. That'll get his attention. But like I said, there's only one guarantee in all of this, and that is that it will all go to caca if we don't try. Showing up's half the battle. You know what I mean? So I hope you'll join with us. Take advantage of what we're talking about here. The chat room at headonradionetwork.com will be an activist center that day. We'll be exchanging information. People can talk about who they've contacted, who they still need to contact. We can make, and frankly, we can scare the bejabbers out of the elected representatives in Washington, D.C. Have them go, holy hell, we didn't know anybody cared. We were just going to quietly kill it. This is our chance. Take it. To the phones. Alan calling from Alabama. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. I was going to tell you that last time I was in Birmingham, that's my hometown, I was seeing these cars all around and say they have this little blue dot on them with a red background.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what they meant. And then I finally found out they meant you're a Democrat in a red state.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and there was a lot of them, too. And also I went to a meeting with what was called the Over the Mountain Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a meeting there, and they invited Chris Dodd. And I think he announced that he was going to run for president. I had to leave early before he even showed up because I had a dinner date.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, when I left, it was just packed. I guess that's some good news.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things that bothers me, Alan, is this this assumption that there aren't any Democrats left in the South. The problem has been, we haven't been fielding any candidates that are even remotely interesting to anybody of a Southern sensibility. And by that, I don't mean stereotypes. I mean getting an Alabamian to vote for John Kerry or to care about a Kerry candidacy. One, he didn't show up. And two, if he won't show up, why should anybody down there care?
Yeah.
I mean, I it's not the way I feel, but it's the way a lot of people do. And frankly, him coming down there and saying, I believe what this country needs is good government, it isn't going to play.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned John Kerry. I just feel like he, turned his back on us. I think he won the last election. He just didn't fight for us.
Well, the reason you feel that way is because he did.
Yeah.
He quit the field of battle with something on the order of $40 million still in his war chest.
Yeah, money that I gave him.
Yeah, because he was keeping his powder dry in case he had a real fight on his hands. Maybe that's the problem. They don't understand when the real fighting starts.
Yeah, and the real reason why he wound up being the nominee is because of the media. That's what I think.
Yeah, the media did everything in its power to destroy Howard Dean.
Yeah, he's a real Democrat to me.
Yeah.
Him and Dennis Kucinich.
Right.
Just get the media out of the way.
Well, I honestly believe that you could get Dennis down into the Deep South and people would connect with him. Because that man's worked for a living. That man, growing up, had to live in a car for a while when he was a kid.
Uh-huh.
You know, we Southerners identify with hanging on and persevering through nothing but pure grit and determination. We understand that. Now, the sad thing is the Republicans have co-opted that and made people feel like that they were persevering through grit and determination if they had to go out turn the air conditioner down to 70 degrees or up to 70 degrees, whatever.
Yeah, I was talking to a truck driver one day, and he told me that if we had the money as the wealthiest people in this country did, that we'd be just as greedy as they are. And I started thinking about that later on after I left them. I said, that's the reason why we're not rich.
Because you're not.
Yeah, because we're not greedy. We want to have a society, not a feudalism or fascist state.
Exactly, Alan. The fact of the matter is, this is why it makes good sense to raise the minimum wage. You know, the idea that we're going to, you know, in 2 years, oh boy, in 2 years we're going to have a minimum wage that's a $7.25 or something. Hooey! Don't spend it all in one place. You know what I mean, man?
In two years, it should be $12.
$15, $20. Yeah. We should be talking not about a minimum wage, but about a living wage. Because you know what? The people that you pay that to, you're right, they're not greedy, and they like to buy stuff. That's money that goes back into the economy. It doesn't go into one's hedge fund portfolio.
Yeah. Not to just hoard up, not be used, not to circulate.
Precisely. You know, the middle class and the lower class, we like to go out and buy stuff. We love to go out to dinner, don't we?
Yeah, that's right.
And we generally tip pretty good, so that means that the server, the waiter, or the waitress does a little bit better when we've got a little bit more money in our pocket.
Yeah, I guess you've heard that analogy that money is like manure. Not spread out, it doesn't do any good.
Exactly.
Hey, I went by last night and talked to a friend of mine who's a Tibetan Buddhist monk.
Yeah.
And I talked to him about George Bush, and man, he the things he said was surprising.
Yeah, you didn't expect to hear those words come out of a Tibetan Buddhist monk's mouth, did you?
I know, and he's trying to get to be a citizen of the United States, and I looked at him, I said, you sure you want to? I think I got him thinking.
Well, the only problem is his real country got stolen from him.
Yeah.
What the communist Chinese did to Tibet shouldn't happen to a dog.
I know, and now we're friends with those people.
Well, yeah, I remember sitting back and screaming at the very notion of giving China permanent most favored nation trading status. I just sit there going, oh, this ain't going to be good. This isn't going to come to any good end. And lo and behold, what we're doing, I sometimes think, Alan, that what we're trying to do is so thoroughly overheat the Chinese economy that it all just blows up.
I know, it seems like it happened that way because it seems to be so imbalanced, but all our money is going there. I don't see how it'll work. For a long term,
it can't. It's a bubble.
I don't see these people don't think about long term. I guess.
No, this is the. I think it was mentioned in an email a couple of nights ago, or maybe last night. This is the grasshopper and the ant fable. We're sadly we're the grasshoppers. We're not working studiously every day to prepare for a long cold winter. We're just eating everything in sight.
I mean, destroying our environment.
We're destroying our environment. We manifested in America's public health crisis. You know, there's more diabetes, there's more obesity, there's more chronic disease than any time in American history. And yet here we are. Oh, we're profitable. Oh, we've only got 4% unemployment. Oh, we're the greatest country on earth, and we're sick as a dog.
Yeah, I just don't understand why we eat so many meat, and then we have these big factory farms. I mean, I'm not advocating vegetarianism, but if there's going to be more and more human beings on this planet in the future, I just don't see why we don't have any more healthier foods that we could buy in stores.
Because that's what we're provided. You know, we talk about having a capitalistic free market economy, but that's a load of hooey. You don't get a lot of choice. There's not, the average grocery store there in Birmingham, I imagine, is like the average grocery store here or Florence or wherever. There's a whole lot more beef and a whole lot more pork than there is fresh fish in that meat department.
Yeah, and organic vegetables.
Yeah.
We got a Whole Foods market now in Birmingham.
Oh man, that's cool. I've never been in one of those. One of these days I'll get to.
But that's in the high dollar section, though.
Oh, sure.
us working people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, right. Organic, again, organic is something that the class that doesn't have to work can eat. There's there's not that much of a movement to make it accessible to the people who really need it.
Yeah. Yet they're making money off their stocks with the companies that have the regular type of vegetables. Or I'm calling it regular type of vegetables, the ones that the GMO.
Yeah, the stuff that's poisoned and dummied up and ginned up and genetically spliced and mutated. And yeah.
Yeah, if I was going to get into any kind of business other than trucking, I would want to have like a farmer's market. Sound like a tough business I don't know much about.
Well, that would be that would be kind of fun. I've often thought it would be, you know, I'd love to have at least a garden that I could sell my produce out of, but you know, it always never quite works out that way. There's a doctor here, in fact, he's the one that oversaw my stress test not too long back. He raises about an acre of tomatoes every year solely for the green tomatoes, and he takes them and he sells them to the Greenbrier, you know, the resort. Because they make this superb, and I do mean superb, fried green tomato sandwich with bacon and melted provolone on homemade sourdough bread. And he keeps them supplied with green tomatoes through the growing season.
Oh, that's good. I could see, from the interstate, I could see a real nice-looking farmer's market in Charleston that drive through.
Yeah, that is a very nice farmer's market. The sad thing is... they haven't figured out a way yet to make it really go year round, because we don't plant that way. But oddly enough, considering the weather we get here, we're almost to the point where in some places you could have year round crops. You know, like your winter stuff, your rutabagas, your turnips, turnip greens, that kind of thing. But we haven't quite figured. A lot of that is a lost art, Alan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I remember my landlady, she used to cook that all the time. It was turnip greens and collard greens. Got me starting eating that stuff, and it's supposed to be really good for you.
Oh, gosh. I'll crawl across ground glass for a good pot of turnip greens and a big pan of cornbread. We better not do this. We've got the chat room hungry, and I'm not doing much better.
Yeah, it's full of calcium. I say there's more calcium in collard greens than in milk.
I wouldn't be surprised. So you've made your run to Georgia and back already?
No, I stayed over at my friend's house. The one I was telling you about is Tibet Monk.
Yeah.
And that was real interesting, seeing him again. I haven't seen him for quite a few years. He seems like he's doing pretty good.
Well, good. Wonderful. I'd love to hear from him on this show sometime if you could talk him into it.
Yeah, I'll try to get him to call you.
That'd be great. Well, we got the news coming up, Alan. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay, thanks.
You take her easy. Bye now.
Bye.
And, you know, I saw some of Alan's art. Alan's a painter. And a painter of significant quality. Beautiful stuff. You know, it never ceases to amaze me, the multifarious talents that people bring to this program. And it's what makes it worth doing. It's what makes it so good. And, yes, that is a fried green tomato sandwich with bacon and melted provolone on homemade sourdough bread. And it is every bit as good as it sounds. If you're cruising through West Virginia, pull in at Tamarack on the interstate in Beckley, and the Greenbrier cafeteria right there in Tamarack will happily make one for you, and you will go wild. Take it with a side of the pan-fried trout and really lose it. Woohoo! All right. News time. We'll be back. You want to get involved in the conversation? You're free to. 304-658-5453. 877-443-2366. I don't always fill a Bobster. This is America's liberal voice. This is the Horn. I'm just Bob. Such a clatter with fear, fight down high. Fire and a fire representatives have engaged in a government for hire and a combat site. Let the weapon come in a hurry with the fury speeding down your neck. Team by team reporters grapple Trump, jab the crop, look at that, no plane, find them. Uh-oh, overflow, population coming through.
south of Baghdad. The attacks were seen as a revenge for yesterday's truck bombing of a Shiite mosque in Baghdad. It killed 87 people. At the Pentagon, Army officials are deciding whether to extend soldiers' tours in Iraq in order to maintain required troop strength. Also under consideration, more use of Army reservists and Navy and Air Force personnel. In Gaza, Israel began an offensive to retake the Gaza Strip today with tanks and missiles days after Hamas militants took control of the area. 4 Palestinians were killed. Israel today agreed to open its borders to sick and injured Palestinians fleeing the Gaza Strip in the wake of its recent takeover by Hamas. 12 trucks delivering food and medical supplies were allowed in. Ceasefire talks are taking place between the Lebanese army and Fatah al-Islam fighters ensconced in the Nahr al-Islam settlement. That's north of Tripoli. The fighting that began May 20th has claimed 163 lives, many of those civilians. Satanic Verses author Salman Rushdie's recent knighthood has enraged Muslims around the world. Britain's foreign secretary said Rushdie was awarded the title for his literary achievements. A Taliban spokesman said, quote, "We consider this another affront to Islam by the infidels." Pakistan, end quote. Pakistan's former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto said a suicide attack against Rushdie is justified. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg filed papers yesterday, dropping his Republican Party affiliation and registering as an independent. The move is thought to be strategic to make a run for the White House in 2008. Two private security guards subcontracted to Walter Reed Army Medical Center got in an argument outside their post this morning. Words escalated to one guard shooting the other 10 times, but he missed. The other guard ran to a nearby house and called 911. His co-worker is now in jail. This is the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country, and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
China is now the world's biggest producer of carbon dioxide emissions. A huge appetite for coal and an increase in cement production caused China's CO2 output to rise by 8% last year. An independent Dutch agency conducted the study that shows China burning coal for two-thirds of its energy needs. And the head of China's regulatory agency promised to increase the safety of his country's exports. That after several products, including pet food, toothpaste, and children's toys were recalled for being toxic. If the sky is clear tonight, observers may see both the Atlantis space shuttle and the International Space Station seeming to chase one another through the evening sky. The two largest man-made orbiting objects are on trajectories northwest to southeast. The space shuttle lands at Cape Canaveral tomorrow. The European Space Agency is seeking volunteers willing to pretend they're astronauts traveling to Mars. The chosen six will spend 17 months in a pseudo-spaceship. For the first time in a decade, British censors have banned a video game describing it as sadistic and brutal. Manhunt 2 is produced by U.S. company Take-Two, which also manufactures the Grand Theft Auto series. Oil is down 91 cents a barrel at the close at $68.19, the close of Wall Street. Took a beating today. The Dow was down 146 points. The S&P 500 was down 21. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Five and a half minutes past the hour, we begin our final hour of tonight's prayer meeting edition of Head On. in a pretty spectacular form. You just heard our good friend Alan the Trucker reference his good friend with whom he had had some conversations recently. And we have him on the line. I love how this works. Guichet.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate you taking your time to join us and talk with us.
You're welcome.
Alan recently, just a few minutes ago, was telling us about the conversations he had recently had with you. You are a Buddhist monk of the Tibetan tradition?
Yes, I'm a Buddhist monk. Right now I'm a resident at Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm teaching here at University of Arkansas in Andhra Pupula College.
Wonderful. What do you teach, sir?
I teach Buddhist philosophy in Tibetan culture and history.
You're teaching at the University of Arkansas, is that correct?
Yes, sir. University of Arkansas, Purple Rock College.
What kind of response do you get there? Do you have a lot of...
Excellent. I have a really good response, and I have a lot of kids that really love to take these classes. I have a really good, and every single step member is really nice. Everybody's support. I mean, it can be better than this, you know.
May I ask, please, how do you square what America's behavior is currently with the teachings that you follow?
What do you mean?
it seems like America is going in a direction that would be largely contrary to the tenets of Buddhism. Is that correct?
I mean, you just said that, you know, since we involved with the war and a lot of violence, you can say that. But it's general. I don't think general. I'm talking about general American citizens. Americans are, they are very much, I consider, very much loving and nonviolence and harmony and peace.
As you teach there at in Arkansas, do you find people in that setting receptive to the tenets of Buddhism?
Well, sure. I have not only for students, also have a really good support communities. Last semester I teach nonviolence, which is a combination of the Gandhi, Dalai Lama, and Martin Luther King. That I offer class and night class for a community. I have a lot of students are not traditional students, outside students.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really good response to it. You know, I don't see any problem with it.
How do you introduce Americans to those principles of nonviolence? What kind of methodology do you use?
Principles of nonviolence is called, in a Sanskrit terminology, called ahamsa. Ahamsa is violence that not just not harming. It's a harm, not harmed by angry and hatred and jealousy. Anything we act by angry, hatred, jealousy, the act, you know, consequences getting a lot of violence and suffering for our individually and other living beings. Because it's based on hatred to each other.
Now, is it a tenet of the faith that suffering is just part of the process in this life?
You just said that. But suffering is a result of our inner behavior. Suffering is a result of the angry, hatred, and jealousy. But we live with it. We live with it. Suffering is part of our life. But generally, what I consider suffering is process of the mental, this is nothing due to with how much you've been hurt. Suffering is due to with how you think. That makes the suffering.
Suffering, in other words, suffering comes from the inside out.
Exactly. Suffering is part of your mind, and nothing due to with how much you've been hurt.
I understand. I think quite well what you're saying.
To put an example, a lot of we consider the suffering of the heart. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
People are allowed to eat hot pepper because they enjoy.
Right.
So those people take suffering as a pleasure.
I see.
So suffering has become pleasure for them. It's due to how they think.
And on a grander scale, How does this suffering how does it manifest itself in everyday lives?
Suffering is, you know, in like I mentioned, suffering is due to the our, you know, inner behavior. As long as we are unable to control our inner behavior, eventually we are cut into suffering and miserable life. If we ourselves, you know, inner discipline, doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what things happen to you, doesn't matter you are in the jail, outside jail, doesn't matter, you can live peacefully, harmony, and within yourself and surrounding other living beings.
And in fact, a nation that does what we have done, invade a country that had done no harm to us, like Iraq, and imposes massive spiritual and physical suffering on another people, does your faith tell you that that comes back at us?
I don't know back to us or not, but it's generally what I consider. You know, general American people don't have any kind of hatred toward Iraqi people. I don't believe that.
No.
There can be, you know, sometimes cut up some kind of politics, you know, things I don't want involved with it. But it's generally what I consider is, you know, we hoping, you know, for myself, I will become American citizen. So myself consider as American citizen, we think as positive. We hope, you know, this can bring, you know, bring for peace, for peace and harmony ourselves to in Iraqi people. We're hoping this can bring positive results. That's our hope. That's my hope.
It is a noble goal, sir.
Exactly.
You're teaching in Arkansas. Is there a Buddhist worship center there as well?
We don't. I'm not really. I don't have any kind of luck there. But generally, I want to go worship. But I teach some meditation and I teach some philosophies and just, you know, other people's places. I don't have it right now. I'm hoping I can. I try to build up. I try to start some here institute.
Yes.
Institute that can people can study and philosophy and education. And a culture system, I would call Tibetan Heritage Institute in Arkansas.
Similar, perhaps, to the Naropa Institute in Colorado.
Yeah, very much like that. I'm very much interested that we are now in a process of the getting nonprofit, and that's my goal in major things. I love to help a lot of people. I see a lot of people here interested, you know, and I think that would be a good to have people can access to. An authentic Tibetan culture and a philosophy of religion.
Are you able to reach out across religious lines and speak, for instance, or dialogue with the Christian community, with the Jewish community, with the Muslim community?
Not much in here. I used to live in Mobile, Alabama. I often go to give a lecture at church, and I used to teach Spring Hill College. It's run by a Jesuit in Mobile, Alabama. And I learn English from them, and I teach there 1 year and Buddhist philosophy. I'm organizing a couple of dialogue with the Catholic and Buddhism. We chant together Catholic Gregorian and Buddhist chanting and multifunctional chanting, those things. I haven't done that much here, but I did give it. Last year, I lectured in a couple of here churches. Also, I give a lecture to St. Paul's Church in around 3 weeks. I have a really good response. People are respectful. I mean, I don't have anything bad things to say. Anybody, you know, Christian, anybody in the religion.
I'm curious to know, is there, you know, we do so much learning on the internet now. Is there anywhere that people can go in terms of a website to learn more? Buddhist principles of nonviolence, the principles of live and let live, that sort of thing?
There are a lot of websites you can go through, you know, Buddhism.com, or you can go to Tibetan.com. Also, I have a website, Tibetan Heritage Institute in Arkansas, and a link to a couple of different websites. And I have a lot of books to recommend that people can read for nonviolence and and other things, and also in a link to, and we have a what called what I'm doing here, what we're supporting, what how Tibetan people are preserved, cut their lives, including difficult circumstances. Those things I have small things. I just been here last fall semester, and I'm just starting now.
Well, I wish you the very best in your endeavors there in Fayetteville.
Thank you, sir Bob.
I think it's a wonderful thing you're doing, and I think the tenets that Buddhism offers in terms of trying to change the way that we think has a possibility to change the world. Obviously, you mentioned Dr. King, you mentioned Mr. Gandhi. Frankly, there are a lot of things that Jesus says in the Gospels that are very reminiscent of Buddhist teaching. Do you find people searching for some kind of harmony, some kind of understanding of a rather chaotic world?
Oh yeah. I mean, I can see that in all over. You know, one thing is very difficult. This kind of country, people like to have but too many choices. People don't know what is the right choice or what is not the wrong choice. People don't have any clue like this. And people think, you know, everybody's coming here. People think every man's educated. People think every, you know, that kind of thing. And a lot of, what I'm trying to say is, even we have a lot of interest people in the whole world, but they don't really, we don't have a lot of accurate teacher can teach those people and guide it to properly, accurately, in a right way. That's a very difficult. We're reading textbooks, have a lot of translated. We have a lot of people reading misleading. And those things are very difficult. We unfortunately living within an isolated place.
Isolation indeed. It is possible to be isolated and live among millions.
I know.
But thank you very kindly. I hope we'll hear from you again. And I'm gonna go and try to find your website. And again, I wish you the very best. And should you ever wish to share your ideas or your thoughts, I hope you'll give us a call and let us know what's on your mind.
Oh yeah, I will do that. You know, Bob, thank you so much. And you take care. You can get on the website anytime you need me. Just give me a call. Just in a shell me, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you very much, sir.
Yes,
be well. Goodbye. Inspiring. I started the program on a very down note, and I'm uplifted now. There is hope. We have to scrabble and scratch and look for it. Or I don't know, maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe you just sit quietly and wait and it comes. But the teachings on suffering, that it's ow, the mosquito bit me. No. It's something that comes from inside the heart, and every religion teaches that. You see. But instead of paying attention to what's being taught, we look for a cheap way out. We spin a gizmo, or we eat a cracker, and we think that makes everything okay. It doesn't. When you spend more time looking at the magical BS than you do at the very practical ways of the existential means of getting along in this all too short existence, you missed the boat. I can prove it. I got two stories sitting right here. I can prove it. And we'll prove it in a minute. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. My two stories, your four or five phone calls. It's your choice. 304-658-5453, 877-443-2366. Could it be any easier? This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My defense is on. I keep so proud. My God's above. obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
It's prayer meeting edition. Put your hands upon your subwoofer. Feel the vibrations of pure religious bliss flowing through your... Well, we won't talk about what it's flowing through. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am your rector, Brother Bob. I don't know. Maybe I'm a Monsignor. Or a vicar. Or... what else can... Noble Lumpkin! I can be the Noble Lumpkin, can't I?
I much prefer...
Yes, Sister Agnes?
I much prefer you be the vicar.
Oh, well, thank you, Sister Agnes.
You're quite welcome.
Yes. Sister, Sister Agnes, the perpetually...
Don't even.
Okay, I won't. No, from the silly... to the just plain mean. We, of course, have to go to Rome for this. And we're dealing in both instances with a guy who's apparently running for Pope. I didn't know you ran for Pope, but apparently this guy does. He is morally bankrupt and ethically dead. His name is Cardinal Renato Martino. I think they missed... I think they need to buy a vowel. And I think it's actually Cardinal Martini, and he's had a few too many. Okay, here's the silly part. The Vatican... God knows the offices in the Vatican. I mean, there's a Vatican travel agency, a Vatican cafeteria, Swiss guards and French busboys? I don't know. Snickers and a Coke. You know what, that's the punchline, too. The Vatican has this office for migrants and itinerant people. Now, how you get jurisdiction over this particular aspect of human existence by running the office of migrant and itinerant people, that just sounds sleazy, doesn't it? Itinerant people. Go look up itinerant. You're an itinerant person. You're not a full-fledged person, you're an itinerant person. Jesus. Jesus wept, as our good friend Peter is fond of saying. Well, the Vatican's Office for Migrants and Itinerant People is putting out a warning, letting the migrants and itinerant people know, because, they have to be warned of these things. They're not like regular human beings, I guess, in the eyes of the church. That automobiles can be an occasion for sin, and we're not talking about what Billy Joe Bob and Becky Sue did last Saturday night and what happened with the gear shift. No. An automobile for migrant and itinerant people can be an occasion of sin when the car is used to make a dangerous passing maneuver or... When, sit back, I couldn't have this written for me. I am not making this up. This is what the richest single institution on planet Earth spends its time thinking about. If you can use the word thinking for what goes on in the sad little settlings inside their skulls where most people have brains. An automobile can be an occasion of sin, particularly when used to make a dangerous passing maneuver or when used by prostitutes and their clients. Sounds redundant to me. Sounds like a dangerous passing maneuver. Oh, this one's just one one-liner after another. This is all part of the Vatican Office for Migrants and Itinerant People. It's part of their Ten Commandments for Motorists, for keeping them on the road to salvation. I expect this kind of crap out of the Southern Baptist Church. They're really good at this kitschy, stupid junk. I expect a little more dignity out of Holy Mother Church. But no, they've got Ten Commandments for Motorists to keep them on the road to salvation. Thou shalt not take the Protestant exit. Thou shalt not stop at the rest area of heresy. See what I mean? I mean, you work on this thing, it could be a whole show. God. No, our buddy Cardinal Renato Martino has apparently taken over some aspects of the creepy stuff that Benny... senior alum of the Hitler Youth, who now wears the official House of Whoville hat and the red shoes, Cardinal Martini has taken over, some of his duties of weirdness. He even held a news conference. Really? Apparently, according to Cardinal Martini, instead of driving, you're supposed to spend your time behind the wheel saying the rosary. Now, I can remember some times in my own past when I'm ignorant. Do you have to work the beads at the same time you're saying the rosary, like the creepy old woman on cable television? Cardinal Martini cited World Health Organization statistics. noting that 1.2 million people are killed in road crashes each year and as many as 50 million are injured. Okay, down with that. Statistics, you know, statistics are what statistics are. The document is called Guidelines for the Pastoral Care of the Road. Thou shalt smooth thine asphalt. See? See? One right after another. And it extols the virtues of driving, family outings, getting the sick to the hospital, allowing people to get to work, and seeing other cultures, contributing to global warming. golly Moses. It wants drivers to obey speed limits, and it wants people to exercise a bunch of so-called Christian virtues. The Reverend Thomas Williams, a Rome-based theologian in reference to Cardinal Martini's cocktail of driving advice. I'm going on the road with this stuff. I'll slay him in the Catskills. He said it might be a little flippant, but it's not sacrilegious. Well, no, if a cardinal does it, it can't be sacrilegious now, can it? Heck, if a cardinal buggers a little boy, that's not sacrilegious either. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, Benny the Rat himself wrote a document that told priests to tell the mothers and fathers of little children who had been raped by priests to shut the hell up or they'd go to hell. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the effect. Now, here are the Ten Commandments for drivers. Number one, thou shalt not kill. I've heard that one before. I don't know what... Now, one of the fundamental problems with the operation of an automobile is most automobile deaths are not caused by an intentional act, i.e., what the church might consider a sin of commission. Most automobile fatalities, 48%, for instance, in the United States, 48% of auto accidents in the United States are caused by drunks. I suppose drinking could be deemed to be an intentional act, but that means 52% are caused by sober people. But death and maiming and injuries in auto accidents are caused primarily as a function of negligence, which is defined in this country as the doing or failure to do of something in the operation of a motor vehicle which a reasonably prudent person in the same or similar circumstances would do or not do. And it really doesn't work to say don't kill, because under that standard everybody goes into court and goes, I didn't mean to, and go away, go and sin no more. My daddy plays dominoes better than your daddy plays dominoes. You're out of here. Two. Oh, God, I guess Cardinal Martini has to earn his money some way or another. How's he going to pay for the Snickers and the Cokes otherwise? Two, the road shall be for you a means of communion between people and not of mortal harm.
What, Edith?
Again, almost no one intends the harm that happens with an automobile. I guess Cardinal Martini's been riding in a limousine so long, he doesn't really understand that. Three, courtesy, uprightness, and prudence will help you deal with unforeseen events. So will an exercise of due diligence and the standard of care. But who am I? Four, be charitable and help your neighbor in need, especially victims of accidents. Can't argue with that one. But a lot of times in the case of accidents, the best thing you can do is get the heck out of the way and call the authorities who actually know how to deal with hurt people, or else you'll wind up with some idiotic assistant prosecutor standing on a highway in rural West Virginia kicking a guy in the foot who's just had his brain splattered all over the pavement. Is he dead? Thou shalt not kick the injured dying motorcyclist in the foot, assistant prosecutor. Cars shall not be for you an expression of power and domination and an occasion of sin. Oh dear, Cardinal Martini's going to have a long talk with the Hummer dealer. 6. Charitably convince the young and not so young not to drive when they are not in a fitting condition to do so. Oh, come on. Does it all have to sound so hoity-toity? Don't get loaded and get behind the wheel. How's that, Cardinal Martini? 7. Support the families of accident victims. Well, that's certainly easily said. How much does the church support the families of accident victims? Does the church engage in income replacement when daddy is perpetually taken out of the out of the income stream, out of the ability to earn a living for his family? Does the church step in and replace his missing income? Oh, I get it, Cardinal Martini. It's do as I say and not as I do. 8. Bring guilty motorists and their victims together. Ooh, I'm liking this one already. At the appropriate time, so that they can undergo the liberating experience of forgiveness. Nah, Cardinal Martini, I don't think you've ever been in a car wreck, buddy. There's not a lot of liberating going on in a car wreck. Or after it. 9. On the road, protect the more vulnerable party. Does that mean small cars get the right-of-way? There's so much gobbledygook here, there's no way of knowing exactly what this goober means. 10. Feel responsible toward others. 10 commandments, and of course you are responsible toward others. In the United States, it's typically taken for granted that the driver of an automobile is de rigueur responsible for the safety of his or her guest passengers. Right? Yeah. 10 commandments for automobile drivers. Thou shalt not do thy hooker in thy car. Mother. Yeah, but I'm looking through here, and I can't find anywhere it says, do thou, insurance companies, pay thy claims promptly. Do that. Thou shalt not deny claims frivolously. And see, that's the way this always works. This is, you know, every time something like this happens, the church aims at the poor schmucks and never at the people who are actually doing the evil. There's nothing in here about claims adjusters who lowball your estimate so that so that the odds of you getting your vehicle replaced is anywhere near to reality. There's nothing in here about claims adjusters. There's nothing in here about the management of the negligence unit. There's nothing in here that says, hospitals, thou shalt not bankrupt thy patients who have been injured in auto accidents. Oh, wait a minute. Italy has universal single-payer health care. Of course not. There's nothing in here that says, lawyers, thou shalt not drag out the case for years, hoping that the plaintiff will go the hell away. There's nothing in here that says, lawyer, thou shalt not engage in frivolous discovery so as to make the plaintiff's misery more abject and pointed. There's nothing in here about what really matters in dealing with the horrific consequences of an auto accident. Because the aftermath of an auto accident, the misery that happens then, after, you know, after people have hopefully been healed, after people have begun to get well, that's when the long-term misery sets in. You know, when you lose your job because you can't get to work because your car was totaled because some dirtbag scum-sucking insurance adjuster won't give you fair payment for the value of your vehicle. That's when the misery sets in. The misery sets in when the hospital is ringing your house day in and day out and you keep telling them, the wreck wasn't my fault. I can't pay for this bill. It's the other guy's responsibility. And the insurance company drags its stinking feet. And the next day you open the newspaper and you see a story where the CEO of Snake Farm has just gotten a Christmas bonus for $26 million. Cardinal Martini, buddy, in between doing the little boys, have a look at the people who do the real harm in car accidents. Have a look at the insurance industry. I'm sure you're well invested. We'll be back. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. By the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
Next time you see a stranger on a plane, a stranger with those swarthy looks we all know, ask yourself, shouldn't I be afraid? Maybe he wants to kill me. Maybe he hates us for our freedom. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support
support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
If only that pasty, puzzle-gutted, balding freak William Donahue could have heard that last segment. It'd be the biggest public relations coup the Head On Radio Network has ever had. You know William Donahue. He's the guy who wanted the guy who did the chocolate Jesus statue, wanted him killed. You know, that man of God, that man of peace, William Donahue. Well, I'm not done. I told you there was two stories. Because Cardinal Martini, Cardinal Shaken Not Stirred, the guy who is apparently filling the official "I write crazy crap all the time" post at the Vatican that Pope Benny used to fill, you know, after he was a Nazi anti-aircraft gunner, but before he was Pope. this one ain't funny. Cardinal Shaken Not Stirred is apparently a mean drunk. It's not like me. He's not one of those lovable drunks who just, you know, "I love you, man." No, ain't one of them. Cardinal Martini, this is from last week. I've saved it. I saved it because I just knew that this thing would pair up with something else for a bookend. Wait a minute, wait, this guy's a cardinal bookend. That sounds kinky, doesn't it? Cardinal Martini, apparently in addition to running the Office for Migrants and Itinerant Humans, also runs the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. And this past week, he commanded Roman Catholics around the world to stop giving money to Amnesty International. You evil son of a bitch, you. He commanded people to stop giving money to Amnesty International. Why? Because Amnesty International has decided on a policy of arguing that women who have been raped or have been the victims of incest should have the right to determine what grows inside their own bodies. You heard it here first. Amnesty International, that tries to shine a light on torture, Amnesty International, that shines a light on hatred. Amnesty International, that shines a light on all the manifest evils that totalitarian, authoritarian governments can do to poor, innocent, suffering humanity. Amnesty International should be deprived, says Cardinal Shaken Not Stirred, Cardinal Boy Buggerer. Amnesty International should be deprived of the funds of Roman Catholics because they support a woman's right not to have the child of a rape grow inside her. God. Amnesty International, that tries to bring an end to the kind of torment that Cardinal Martini's Lord and Savior was subjected to. See, that's the difference between the Buddhist philosophy on suffering. Suffering is not good for the soul. Suffering is not the way it's supposed to be. Suffering is not the proper human condition. Suffering is something to be gotten away from, to be worked through, to be learned how not to do it, versus Cardinal Martini, who holds to a doctrine that there's something kind of cool about suffering. Because you'll notice that Mother Teresa, whom they want to make a saint out of, now, she ministered to the suffering, but she never, ever, ever tried to remove the conditions of the suffering. Oh, you're suffering. Let me pat your little head. Oh, you're suffering just like Jesus. Good for you. Horse piss. And the conditions of suffering. Cardinal Martini came out and said that it is better that people should be tortured and die than Amnesty International should be fully funded. Do you have any doubt? Do you have any doubt at all that the Vatican is dead, dead, dead? What is it? Is it in the book of James where it says faith without works is dead? Well, James, old boy, you were right. Because whatever faith is going on with Cardinal Martini, the only works attached to it are works of evil and ill will. Cardinal Martini would rather that a little boy be tortured in the Congolese Civil War because Amnesty International can't do its work. Cardinal Martini would rather that scores of people be tortured, murdered, raped, killed by that crazy bastard Robert Mugabe than Amnesty International be able to do its work. He has said right here that a woman who is raped must carry that monster to term. You know, there are lessons out of our collective mythology. The Oedipus story, for instance. The Oedipus story is not a story about a boy who doesn't know that his daddy's and his mom's his mom, and he kills his daddy and he screws his mother and his kids are his brothers and his sisters. That's not what the story's about. It is about the consequences, the unintended consequences. We even now call it the law of unintended consequences. It's about what we wind up getting when we're trying to get something else altogether. And Cardinal Martini is too damn dull and dumb to understand that. And so he advocates the suffering of literally millions of raped women all around this globe every damn day. Because it is suffering. It is suffering of the highest order, and it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the passion of a poor crucified carpenter named Yeshua. Nothing. Go to hell, Cardinal Martino. Maybe you can have cocktails with Pius. Monsters! Of course, he may very well be a rapist himself, so he wouldn't have much in common with the rape victims, would he? History is history, after all. That's it. So much for prayer meeting. Stay tuned! Strictly Confidential, far more fabulous than anything I've done this evening, is on its way. By the way, Cardinal Martini hates Peter Godbold, too.
Well, we're not fond of Cardinal Martini.
But the feeling's mutual. Thanks, Agnes, for producing. Thanks, John Fox, you wild-eyed hippie engineer, you. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. Proved it today. Tough day, Ben. Sorry about that, brother.
We love
you. Oh, yeah, now you sleep, Liza. Yeah, this tells me about my career. I'm putting her, ranting his head off, and then she goes right to sleep.
Leave my baby alone.
Thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who helped us get this network off the ground and who build the American dream every day, and by helping us start this network, are helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR. Gina, it's all for you.
Cuba, Diyala Province's capital, is now completely surrounded. Iraqi, U.S., and coalition forces are now fanning out to provinces across Iraq to either detain or eliminate insurgents. So far, 32 al-Qaeda members have been killed, 62 insurgents have been detained. Nearly a dozen weapons caches have been discovered as troops walk step by careful step, looking out for snipers, bombs, and booby traps along the way. At the Pentagon, Army officials are deciding whether to extend soldiers' tours in Iraq in order to maintain required troop strength. Also under consideration, more use of Army reservists and Navy and Air Force personnel. Militants have blown up three Sunni mosques south of Baghdad. The attacks were seen as revenge for yesterday's truck bombing of a Shiite mosque in Baghdad that killed 87 people. Israel began an offensive to retake the Gaza Strip today with tanks and missiles days after Hamas militants took control of the area. Four Palestinians were killed. Israel today agreed to open its borders to sick and injured Palestinians fleeing the Gaza Strip in the wake of its recent takeover by Hamas. 12 trucks delivering food and medical supplies were allowed in. Ceasefire talks are taking place between the Lebanese army and Fatah al-Islam fighters ensconced in the Nahr al-Islam settlement north of Tripoli. The fighting that began May 20th has claimed 163 lives, many of those civilians. Satanic Verses author Salman Rushdie's recent knighthood has enraged Muslims around the world. Britain's foreign secretary said Rushdie was awarded the title for his literary achievements. Pakistan's former prime minister Benazir Bhutto said a suicide attack against Rushdie is justified. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg filed papers yesterday, dropping his Republican Party affiliation and registering as an independent. The move is thought to be strategic to make a run for